Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Joshua, Judges, chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. I only use the King James text. Judges chapter 2, verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. People forget that God can become angry. We don't hear that today. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer, or could not any longer, stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Verse 20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Twice we see that expression. And he said, because that the people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. And of course, that passage sets the stage for the entire book of Judges. Now, Matthew Henry has this commentary on verses 16 through 18, and I think is really worth repeating here. Verses 16 through 18, Matthew Henry. Observe here, number one, the inducement of their deliverance. It came purely from God's pity and tender compassion. The reason was fetched from within himself. It is true they deserve to perish forever under his curse. Yet this being the day of his patience and our probation, he does not stir up all his wrath. He might in justice have abandoned them, but he could not, for pity, do it. I think America is under God's probation. we have already done horribly in the sight of God, deserving his wrath and destruction. It's already a state of condemnation in which we live as a country. But God has, I think, put us on probation because of his tender mercy, because of his compassion, and I think, too, because of the honor and respect of our forebears and the price they were willing to pay under God to bequeath to us the liberty that we've had all these years. God's respect for them is being honored today. We are still clipping the coupons of the price they paid for liberty. So I think that much of what Matthew Henry is describing here for the nation of Israel is very relevant to the United States. Number two, the instruments of their deliverance. God did not send angels from heaven to rescue them, nor bring in any foreign power to their aid, but raised up judges from among themselves as there were occasion, men to whom God gave extraordinary qualifications for and calls to that special service for which they were designed, which was to reform and deliver Israel, and whose great attempts he crowned with wonderful success. Then he quotes the scripture, "The Lord was with the judges when he raised them up, and so they became saviors," small s and s plural. Observe, in the days of the greatest degeneracy and distress of the church, referring to the believers within Israel, the Bible refers to them in the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, as the church in the wilderness. In the days of the greatest degeneracy and distress of the church, there shall come some whom God will either find or make to redress its grievances and set things to rights. God must be acknowledged in the seasonable rising up of useful men for public service. He endues men with wisdom and courage, gives them hearts to act and venture. And listen to this next sentence. I love this one. All that are in any way the blessings of their country must be looked upon as the gifts of God. You see, people are either a blessing or a curse to their country. They're either helping and aiding their country in its greatness and its goodness and its liberty, etc., or they are doing everything they can to destroy that greatness and goodness and liberty, one or the other. And I think that would be correct in saying that we have far more people that are cursing our country today than we do that are blessing our country. But he says, all that are in any way the blessings of their country must be looked upon as the gifts of God. Whom God calls, he will own and give them his presence. Whom he raises up, he will be with. The judges of the land are its saviors. Again, that's a quote from Matthew Henry. That's why I love reading these old Bible scholars. You never read things like this from these modern commentators. Again, chapter 2 sets the stage for the repeated history of the book of Judges. I don't have to go into a lot of detail. I think you pretty much are familiar with that routine. The redundancy of what we read in chapter 2 is repeated throughout the book. Israel goes into deep apostasy and idolatry, wickedness, vileness, wretchedness. God sends them oppressors to judge them because of their sin and their degradation. They suffer great bondage, servitude, and suffering. They cry out to God with great humility and tears and anguish of spirit. God, in tender mercy and in pity, raises up a judge to rally the children of Israel together against their oppressors and deliver them from their enemies. After they are delivered from their enemies and they are at peace, they go right back into debauchery and wickedness and idolatry, and then the process repeats itself. God sends the oppressors. They are in bondage and servitude. They cry out to God. God gives them another judge, and the history repeats itself over and over and over throughout the entire book of Judges. The Romans 13ers need to tear the book of Judges out of their Bibles, because God himself raised up judge after judge after judge to lead armed rebellion against the oppressive governments that had enslaved God's people. God himself raised up judges who led armed resistance to their adversaries. Now, think for a minute, what if the children of Israel at that point in history did not have access to arms? How would they have defeated their enemies? But they had access to arms. And God raised up leaders to help them to fight their oppressors in such an effective manner as to procure their freedom again and again and again. So again, the Romans 13ers, they need to just tear the book of Judges out of their Bible, because the book of Judges by itself is the great contradiction of the doctrines that are promoted by these phony preachers that use Romans 13 to excuse their indifference to the cause of freedom in our country. By the way, I have a 4-message DVD, The True Meaning of Romans chapter 13, which gives the absolute truth about what it's saying, and it's not saying what you're hearing from the average evangelical pulpit. There's 4 messages on this one DVD, The True Meaning of Romans 13. If you don't have that, I hope that you'll get it. Notice in verse 18, the Lord was with the judge. The Lord was with the judge. Now this is kind of gross, but it's in the chapter. I gotta be faithful to tell you. The Lord was with the judge. That means when Ehud assassinated King Eglon, the Lord was with the judge. When Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, can you imagine one man killing 600 soldiers with an ox goad? The Lord was with the judge. When Heber's wife, Jael, took a hammer and nail and drove it through the skull of King Jabin's general, Sisera, the Lord was with the judge. When Gideon smote the Midianites, the Lord was with the judge. When Jephthah destroyed the Moabites, the Lord was with the judge. When Samson slaughtered the Philistines, the Lord was with the judge. Each time the Lord raised up a judge, he used that judge to lead a successful rebellion against an oppressive government and to bring the nation of Israel into a state of independence and peace. The Lord was with the judge. Without national independence, and God knew this, and our founding fathers knew this, which is why we were bequeathed an independent, free country. Without national independence, there is only oppression and servitude. Mark it down. There is no liberty in global government.
Amen.
The goal of globalists has always been to dismantle America's sovereignty and our independence. Some of this material I've shared with you before, but it's been several years. I went back in my notes and looked. It's been several years since I have done that. We have new people watching all the time, so I'm going to reshare some of this material and add some new material to it. One of the organizations that is at the forefront of promoting the New World Order, as it's called, and we weren't the ones to invent that term, by the way, that was George H.W. Bush that invented that term. So we're just using the term that they have used themselves. One of the organizations in the forefront is the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. I have repeatedly shown how the CFR dominates the presidencies of both Republican and Democratic administrations, as well as the Federal Reserve. I would even go so far as to say that the CFR is a very clear and present danger to the sovereignty and independence of the United States. For example, CFR member and UN spokesman Walt Rostow said, this is his quote, "It is therefore an American interest, to see an end to nationhood." In America's interest to see an end to nationhood. Now, the American people need to wake up to the fact that the international banking interests that dominate our political and financial entities are working tirelessly to do just exactly what Mr. Rostow said, to see an end to nationhood. This global digital currency they're talking about, that's what that's all about. That is the financial spearhead to end nationhood. I'm talking about the Rothschilds, the Warburgs of Europe, the House of J.P. Morgan, Kuhn, Loeb, Schiff, Lehman, and Rockefeller. Rear Admiral Chester Ward, who was the Judge Advocate General of the Navy from 1956 to 1960, and a former member of the CFR, who pulled out of that organization after realizing what they were all about, warned the American people about the dangers of this and similar organizations, such as the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers. He said, quote, former Judge Advocate General of the Navy. He said, "The most powerful clique in these elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States." Remember, God raised up judges to restore the freedom and the national independence of Old Testament Israel. So this is important spiritual principles that we're dealing with here. A second clique of international members in the CFR comprises the Wall Street international bankers and their key agents. Primarily, they want the world banking monopoly from whatever power ends up in the control of global government, close quote. There's no doubt in my mind that what's going on through all of this economic downturn in the banking system and with hometown banks, local banks, regional banks going under. Those banks are being swallowed up by the huge international banking cartels. And I believe this is by design of the globalists. They do not want independent banks. They do not want independent financial institutions. They want everything that has to do with economics under the control of their international banking cartel. I am convinced that's what we are seeing going on right before our very eyes. Admiral Ward also said, quote, "The main purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is promoting the disarmament of U.S. sovereignty and national independence and submergence into an all-powerful one-world government," close quote. The CFR has a sister organization called the Trilateral Commission. This group was co-founded by the Marxists Zbigniew Brzezinski and David Rockefeller. Like other globalists in the CFR, Brzezinski calls for a piecemeal, quote, movement toward a larger community of the developed nations through a variety of indirect ties and already developing limitations on national sovereignty, close quote. Already developing limitations on national sovereignty. That's from Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, page 296, if you're interested. Brzezinski's daughter, Mika, is co-host and wife of MSNBC Joe Scarborough. George is Joe's dad, and Joe also has a brother named George. I knew the Scarboroughs extremely well. We were personal friends for many years. And I'm not being braggadocious in any shape, manner, or form when I say what I'm about to say, because you folks that were there, you know what I'm telling you is true. If it wasn't for my radio talk show back in those days, Joe Scarborough would have never been elected to Congress. And Joe ran as a staunch libertarian conservative, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-limited government, pro-10th Amendment. He was the quintessential conservative libertarian congressman. When he ran, that was his platform. And I supported him against the establishment, who had put up a very liberal city councilwoman who was extreme pro-abortion, anti-Second Amendment. But she was very popular, very wealthy. Her family had been in the area for many, many years. She had all the money in the world. She'd been elected to several different offices for many years and was well-known, well-established in the community. There was no question that she was the favored to win that open seat in the First District of Florida congressional race. I remember I was in Tallahassee, as I spent a lot of time in Tallahassee back in those days, and that's the capital of the state, and we were meeting with legislators and talking about things of this nature. Marion Hammer happened to be there that day. Marion Hammer at that time was the executive director or president, or I think it was president, of the National Rifle Association. The National Rifle Association has been a compromised, controlled opposition, Second Amendment group forever. The gun control legislation that we have, the 1968, the granddaddy of all the gun control laws that have come about since, all of that happened with the approbation of the National Rifle Association. They have compromised again and again and again. I have no confidence, no trust, no respect for the NRA. But anyway, if you want a good Second Amendment group to be a part of, the Gun Owners of America is a great group for you to support. And I know those people very well. I've been friends with them for a long time as well. So anyway, Marilyn was there, and she was supporting Joe's opponent. And I talked to her one-on-one. I said, Marilyn, you know how liberal this woman is. You know how anti-Second Amendment she is. Well, I've talked to her, and she promised me that she would not do that anymore. Besides, Chuck, you've got to understand, she's going to win, and we have to work with the people that win. My paraphrase of what she said. I looked at her and I said, Miriam, I got news for you. She is not going to win. Joe Scarborough is going to be our next congressman, and you're going to have to work with him. And that's how we left it, and he was the next congressman. And I remember when we had the celebration party, his dad, George, and his mother, Mary, they came up to me after the, or during the celebration, all the crowd, the noise and the music and everything was going. And they said, Chuck, I want you to know that my family and I know that if it hadn't been for you, Joe would have never been elected to Congress. Well, now, I wish Joe had never been elected to Congress. Because after he left Congress and he got on MSNBC, he took a major dive to the left and he married into one of the most globalistic New World Order families, the Brzezinskis, on the face of the earth. And so the Joe Scarborough that you know on MSNBC today was not the Joe Scarborough that we knew back in the mid-1990s when he ran for Congress. Just a little bit of background to that. Brzezinski is also a major proponent, along with CFR member Robert Pastor, of the North American Community, or Union, whose construction began during the second term of President George W. Bush, another major globalist. The entire Bush family is a family of globalists. Here is a sample of a list of the notable dignitaries in and out of government who hold or held membership in the CFR or TC, and sometimes both. Now, this is just a sample. Some of you younger people may not remember some of these names. Most of us should remember most of these names. You'll notice Republicans and Democrats are on the list. George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, Sandra Day O'Connor, Dick Cheney, Les Aspin, Colin Powell, Robert Gates, Brent Scowcroft, Jesse Jackson Sr., Mario Cuomo, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, David Brinkley, John Chancellor, Marvin Kalb, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, Cyrus Vance, Paul Volcker, Henry Kissinger, surprise, George Shultz, Alan Greenspan, Madeleine Albright, Roger Altman, Bruce Babbitt, Howard Baker, Samuel Berger, Dianne Feinstein, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Chuck Hagel, Gary Hart, John McCain, George Mitchell, Bill Moyers, Jay Rockefeller, Donna Shalala, Strobe Talbert, Fred Thompson, Robert Zoellick, Richard Nixon, Hubert Humphrey, George McGovern, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, John Anderson, Walter Mondale, Michael Dukakis, Al Gore, just a few. Here is a sample list of CFR members and Bilderberg attendees in the Donald Trump administration. All right, here we go. You're talking about Donald Trump again. I hate you. Donald Trump appointed more CFR Bilderbergers to his administration in 4 years than Barack Obama did in 8 years. Just to give you an idea. So here are some of his CFR appointments. Donald Trump. Elaine Chao, Jay Clayton, Gary Cohn, Jamie Dimon, Jim Donovan, Larry Fink, Judge Neil Gorsuch, Vice Admiral Robert Harward, Kevin Hassett, Robert Woody Johnson, Robert Lighthizer, General James Mattis, K.T. McFarlane, Linda McMahon, General Herbert McMaster, Jim McNierney, Steve Mnuchin, Indra Nooyi, Rick Perry from Texas, Dinah Powell, Gina Rometty, Wilbur Ross, say a whole lot about that guy, Stephen Schwartzman, Patrick Shanahan, Rex Tillerson, Jack Welch, and Heather Ann Wilson. Just a few of the appointees by Trump. Now, here is a sample list of the CFR members and Bilderberg attendees in the Joe Biden White House. And with these, I'll give you the position as well, since it's current. General Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State. Lael Brainard, Chair of the Federal Reserve. Mark Brzezinski, what do you know? ambassador to Poland, Nicholas Burns, ambassador to China, William J. Burns, director of the CIA, Eric Garcetti, ambassador to India, Avril Haines, director of national intelligence, Kathleen Hicks, deputy secretary of defense, Colin Call, undersecretary of defense for policy, John Kerry, climate czar. America has czars now. Does that mean we're going to have czarines? Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security. Lisa Monaco, Deputy Attorney General. Michael Morrell, CIA Chief. Gina Raimondo, Secretary of Commerce. Susan Rice, Director of the Domestic Policy Council. Cecilia Rouse, Chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture. Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury. All CFR, Bilderbergers, Trilateral Commission, globalists, New World Order, call them whatever you want, in the highest levels of government. And it's that way no matter who's president, Republican or Democrat. The globalist CFR agenda continues to control Washington, D.C. at the executive level, no matter who you elect as president. And there aren't enough principled Republicans in Congress, sadly, to do anything to stop it. So the problems that manifested themselves in the book of Judges in the nation of Israel, we are seeing manifest themselves today in the United States, and we have for the last several decades. Our real problem has nothing to do with politics, as you know. Our real problem is Christians' disobedience to God. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Our nation is greatly distressed because of our disobedience to God. The church is in a state of perennial, pervasive apostasy. And until the church repents, judgment must begin at the house of God and returns to the glorious, wonderful, majestic, new covenant gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have no permanent solutions. Our demise will only continue. Our next problem is the men in the pulpits who refuse to speak truth to power. You know, most of these corrupt politicians of either party go to church somewhere. The vast majority of them. Now, they may not go every Sunday, but they go, and they have membership in those churches. And then they go to Helena or Washington, D.C., and they do things that are anti-Christ, anti-America, anti-liberty on a routine, regular basis. And then they go back to their church, and they are welcomed as honored guests. A politician that goes to whatever capital it is, state or federal, and lends his support to the murder of unborn babies is no friend of the church. A politician that goes to the state capital, whichever one it is, and lends his support to the dismantlement of our Second Amendment is no friend of the church. Where are the pastors to stand up and speak truth to power to the politicians in their own congregations? If it's a little bit cool, Heath, we might can turn the heat up just a tad. See, some people got me a little uncomfortable. If we cannot speak truth to power locally, How in the name of common sense is anyone going to speak truth to power nationally? Our problem is that the men in the pulpits refuse to speak truth to power. By doing so, they are providing cover for these antichrist politicians who are doing everything they can to destroy the principles of God's liberty upon which this country was built. The next problem is the so-called Christians in the pews who support these men in the pulpits who won't speak truth to power. You are providing cover for your cowardly pastor who won't speak truth to power by continue to support that pastor with your presence and with your financial giving. You are aiding and abetting the chains of tyranny around your own children. You are the problem. The next problem is the people in and out of the church who refuse to acknowledge and oppose the neocon Zionist New World Order globalist. Always remember, the primary goal of globalists is perpetual war and conflict. They cannot achieve their agenda without it. The war profiteers that support the politicians get wealthy off of the death caused by the war machine. And in turn, the politicians get rich by the war profiteers who got rich off of the death of the war machine. Joe Biden's White House, CIA, and Defense Department are taking us to the very precipice of nuclear war. We think it can't ever happen. And it certainly can't happen in America. The truth is, it is a divine miracle of God's protection that we have not already entered nuclear war. The Biden White House is doing everything it can to elicit major all-out war in Ukraine and Eastern Europe. God's judges delivered Israel from those enemies that had conquered them. Isn't that great? They were delivered, at least for a time, from the enemies that had conquered them. Now, America is not being conquered by any foreign nation yet, except perhaps by Israel, who is the dominant political, religious, media, and entertainment force in the United States. So if you want to look at it that way, you could. But America is being conquered internally, much like the Roman Empire was never conquered by an alien force, collapsed within itself, imploded. That's what's happening in our country. The IRS has conquered our churches. Fear has conquered our pastors. Greed and lust for power have conquered our political leaders. Humanistic education has conquered our children's minds and hearts. Movies, television, and entertainment have conquered our teenagers. Fox News has conquered our senior citizens. I've got to be fair and balanced. Zionism has conquered most of Western Christendom. We desperately need for God to raise up judges in America. Verse 18, I'll leave you with this. And when the Lord raised them up judges, Then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies. Now, this closing is, I think, the most important part of this message, and everything that I've said to this point is a crescendo to this point. So listen very carefully to this statement. Pastors and churches that are proclaiming the true New Covenant gospel, pastors and churches that are proclaiming the true New Covenant gospel, there's not a lot of them, but they are out there. There are several of them scattered across this country, preaching and proclaiming the true New Covenant gospel. They are the spiritual judges. Who knows? But for these few, we cannot always tell how God works and what is the work of God and what is not. It's very difficult for us to ascertain what God is doing behind the headlines and behind what we are looking at in the mirage of Satan that he wants us to see all the time. It's very difficult for us to see what God is doing behind the scenes. So let me read this again. Pastors and churches that are proclaiming the true New Covenant gospel are spiritual judges. Who knows? But for these few, God is yet preserving America. It might be that the only reason that God has not already given America up to itself and done to us what he did to his people Israel is because of the few faithful pastors and churches that are still scattered across America preaching and promoting the true New Covenant gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not know that perhaps that could be the only reason America still exists as a semi-free country. That these are the judges spiritually in our country. If there's any semblance of truth to that, the best thing that any child of God can do is to find a New Covenant pastor and a New Covenant church and do everything you can to support that pastor and that church. Because that New Covenant gospel is the only, hear me, the only hope for this country. Too many Christians are getting involved in all these political organizations, and some are fine and some are not fine. Getting involved in all these entities and things and all these things that are going to save America. And none of it will have any impact whatsoever on saving America. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has apostatized on the New Covenant gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until the church returns to the New Covenant gospel, God cannot and will not bestow his blessing upon this land. Remember, God's judgment or blessing on a land is dependent upon his blessing or not on the church. The country receives the fallout from either the blessing or the cursing on the church. God deals with the church, through the church, for the church. An unsaved pagan government is of no interest to Almighty God. It is a stench in his nostrils. It sits under his heavy hand of judgment. But God's gracious dealing with the church depended upon the church's obedience to Christ will be a blessing to the nation. God blessed America from the very beginning because America had a great awakening spiritually. And the church of America, in colonial America, became the driving dominant culture of our country. And everything in our early American life took seed from that spiritual awakening that God gave to our ancestors. Without that, there would have been no Declaration of Independence, no Constitution, no United States of America. The country itself was the recipient of the fallout blessings that God gave to the church in that generation. So by the same token, when we see a nation under judgment of heaven, we can know that the church has failed God and therefore has failed our country. Whenever the church returns to the New Testament, New Covenant gospel of Christ and finds itself in a place of blessing spiritually with that message, God's blessing on the church will fall upon God's blessing on the country. And so as long as these pseudo-Christians continue to ignore the church or to continue to support these churches that are not true to the New Covenant gospel of Christ, they are perpetuating the judgment upon the church and thus upon the country. The only answer to America is the New Covenant gospel of Jesus Christ. Be true to that. Support that. Give your heart to that. And then God can use you as a blessing, not only to the church, but an extension to our country. May God bless the message of his word. Let's stand for a word of prayer.